This is the audio that goes with Board of Regents of University of Texas versus KST Electrical. So we're going to electric. We're going to get deeper into the FAME requirement for dilution. So this is what limits the scope of the dilution requirement, particularly because we require what is commonly called household FAME, or making it a household mark, not niche FAME, or just FAME in a particular area. Of the country or an area of goods or services. And so the question that basically comes up in this case, if we take a look at the first slide, is for us to get a sense. Oh, wait a minute. The first slide here is the exclusion slide from the previous case. I apologize. So if you reach back up and you can see me kind of lifting my hand up, we kind of left off at the end of the Starbucks one, talking about exclusions. And there are these exclusions to the dilution doctrine, fair use or nominative or descriptive use, which we'll talk about. Basically, it allows us to use the mark, even if it's a famous mark, as long as we're actually identifying those goods or services. That wasn't happening in Charbucks or this case. It also lets me do comparative advertising, right? So if I'm all detergent and I want to use Tide detergent in my ad, that can't be dilution because I'm actually identifying Tide detergent and I'm comparing my good to that good. I can parody, criticize, or comment on the famous mark owner. There maybe could have been this allegation in Charbucks, although I really think what they're trying to do, if anything, is satire. They're not criticizing Starbucks. They're just trying to connotate coffee, but the fact that theirs is really dark, so it probably doesn't fall under A2. I can use people's trademarks in my news reporting and news commentary. If I'm reporting on Starbucks, I can say Starbucks without their permission. And any non-commercial use of the mark, which we didn't see in that previous slide. So I apologize. This is the exclusions that I talked about very briefly at the end of the last virtual class talking about Starbucks, but we might as well talk about them also here at the beginning. And we're going to find out that none of these really apply in the UT scenario, because none of these are instances where KST Electric is trying to use it in a non-commercial way. They're actually using it in a commercial way, and they're not trying to kind of use the longhorn or steer symbol to identify UT or criticize or comment on UT, so they don't be able to avail themselves of any of these things. And so then if you go to slide two, here are the usages between the two, and the mark that's at issue is this silhouette of Bevo, which is the longhorn mascot for the University of Texas, right, hook 'em horns. Not the sign of the goat or the sign of the beast. It's all about whether you have your thumb out or thumb in, whether we're rocking out to heavy metal or we're cheering on UT to victory one way or another. But then you have KST Enterprises Limited, KST Electric, that's using a mark, and University of Texas is claiming that there is dilution here. Likely the confusion would be tough because the University of Texas is not in the electrical services market, right? And so that's why we've got to use dilution, because there's no likelihood of confusion. And the big pushback by KST to the maybe almost to the insult of potentially some people and professors in the class is that this silhouette is not famous. It might be known by a lot of people who watch college football or college sports, right, which is something that I've heard sometimes is televised. It's been a while now since I've known about such things, but that it's only famous there. It's not famous to the general consuming public. And the pushback by the University of Texas is, no, it actually is famous to the general public. And so if you go to slide three, we can take a look at the factors, and we can take a look at the factors in the context of the evidence that's actually presented in the case, which is a series of surveys going to push one way or another. Now, the key here is that we need general fame, household fame. We can't have niche fame, just fame to those people who watch college sports or follow college athletics, right? So this is the pushback or push-pull. If we allowed niche fame, this is an easy case for the University of Texas. It becomes a difficult case, right, that we would show this logo to anyone, any of the general consuming public, and say, okay, do you associate this with a particular source of goods or services, right? So education, right, or athletic sports, right, one way or another. To look at these things, we look at a certain number of factors, right? Duration, extent, and geographic reach of advertising and publicity of the mark, the amount and volume of actual sales of the goods and services, the extent of actual recognition, and whether the mark is registered. We've got it registered here. There's a lot of really good, as the court kind of puts it, circumstantial evidence of the reach of this. It just turns out that it all seems to be targeted, particularly for this logo, around athletics, right? Advertising on ABC or ESPN during UT sports events, etc. It's advertised a lot through sponsorship in Coca-Cola, magazines like Sports Illustrated, etc. But it all seems to be associated around athletics, right? Not something beyond that. There is some sale of UT products in stores, etc. that might have this logo on it, right? But those also seem to be associated with those people who kind of care about college athletics, etc. And so the court says, look, a lot of that is just really kind of circumstantial evidence that we might have household or general consuming public fame, but really if you dig deeper into it, it really looks like this is fairly niche, right? That it's only towards college athletics. And again, you get a sense here, courts are really trying to limit dilution as an arm of protection to those truly kind of household marks, like let's say McDonald's, or quite frankly, Starbucks. And then there's a push-pull between these different surveys that are out there. And essentially, the expert on the side of KST, right, is this push by this idea that, look, it's not really recognized on the national level because Robert Klein does this survey and he demonstrates that really only 5.8% of the respondents associated that logo with the University of Texas by itself, right? Particularly the logo that's specifically there shown in the registration. Now, the pushback against this is it turns out that a lot of the respondents, and it looks like Klein has a little bit of a marked, a kind of a storied past where he's been critiqued before about the validity of his stuff. A lot of those respondents didn't say the University of Texas, but said a college in Texas, a school in Texas. That would have been good enough. So it looks like UT does a good job of kind of poking holes in the survey. I think the problem is they don't have any good affirmative evidence to show that they've got this household fame. So on balance, the court here determines that we don't have enough, right, enough to show that this is universal fame and broad fame. And this is even coming out of a court in Austin, Texas. And the other thing that's pushed back is this idea that we need to make sure it's not just geographic. It's not just there in Austin or Texas. We need it across the country. I go to Wyoming, I show this, and they think, oh yeah, that's an identifier. Those that steer, that silhouette is an identifier of goods and services that come from a university, right, or some educational requirement. If it turned out that they proved fame, we probably have a good blurring case because the marks are fairly similar, right, between the two. Although we might have some problem with actual association. If I showed this to the consuming public, I don't know if they all would associate, or many of them would associate it with the same goods or services. And the marks aren't exactly the same, although we know we don't need substantial similarity, we just need similarity. But we don't get to that requirement in this case because we don't have fame, because we don't have kind of worldwide fame, as opposed to, not worldwide, nationwide fame. It's just U.S. dilution. Nationwide fame, as opposed to fame that might be niche. And so this would be nationwide, both in geographic scope, but also consuming public scope. So even those people who don't watch college sports, which is really all of us now, would have to find this to be famous.